know a lot of people have been here for a long time, so we're going to move, before we take a break, right into public comment, because many of you have been here actually for 2 days. I'll officially call to open the formal action item, but our first thing will be to call up those people who are wishing to speak. We have, 8 or 10. I would ask that, our rule is around 3 minutes, but we'd like to hear everyone here today. So I'll call you up the order in which you signed up, and the first is Mr. Dennis Rooker. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary, Mr. Commissioner, members of the board. I'm Dennis Rooker. I'm a resident of Albemarle County for more than 40 years. The Route 29 corridor solutions, which Philip Chouquette brought to you yesterday, are sound recommendations that are supported by years of previous traffic analysis and environmental studies performed by VDOT, the EPA, the Corps of Engineers, and other federal and state agencies with jurisdiction over federally funded transportation projects. I've had much background and experience with these issues, as I served on the Albemarle County Planning Commission for 4 years, the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors for 12 years, the Charlottesville-Albemarle MPO for 10 years, and the City, County, and UVA Planning and Coordination Council for 12 years. I know that I'm speaking for thousands of my prior constituents in expressing appreciation for moving forward to a point of final decision. Completion of this project list will provide the area with important functional transportation improvements that will serve local and through traffic for many years. One of the things I wanted to address was a question that came up yesterday about what the parallel road component of this plan will do for through traffic. 87% of the traffic in the corridor today is local, meaning 13% is through traffic. Of that through traffic, a little over a third is actually through north-south traffic. That translates that into about 2,000 vehicles a day of through north-south traffic on that section of the road today. You have below you, when you come out the door of the hotel, the bottom of the hill, I think the only 8 and 10 lane section of Route 29 in the state. That widening was done at a cost of about $100 million, and there's a further widening plan, as you know, that would be about another $50 million. The parallel roads will take a substantial portion of the local traffic, the 87% of the traffic, off of Route 29, freeing up a huge amount of capacity on this 8 and 10 lane section of Route 29 for the 13% of through traffic to use. Combining this additional capacity with the installation of a state-of-the-art adaptive signalization system, which is already in the works, in an overpass at Ryer Road, will provide for a very significantly improved flow of traffic in this corridor for many years. And again, I say that out of long experience. I've been involved in every traffic study that has ever been done in this area over the last 16 years. I also want to thank VDOT and the CTB for its creation, the installation of the Rural Rustic Road Program. It has been a terrific success in Albemarle County and has resulted in many of our citizens having better roads than they would have had otherwise. Thank you for your consideration.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Rooker. Next is Tripp Pollard.
I'm Tripp Pollard with the Southern Environmental Law Center. You all have covered an awful lot of ground in this workshop meeting. I'd like to just touch briefly on two items you've talked about a lot, the 460 and the 29 corridor. The Route 460 proposal is a proposal that has quite a history of issues and problems. I think it's outrageous that this much money was spent with the risk involved and with what we have to show for it. Secretary, as you said, I think it was far too aggressive in the pursuit of this project and that too much risk was taken on by the state and by taxpayers. As Charlie Kilpatrick mentioned, the Corps of Engineers was involved for a long time and has been involved for a long time with this project. In fact, they've been warning for over a decade about problems with the possibility of permitting this project. It So there have been red flags raised with this for quite a while. I think this saga highlights a lot of the problems with the PBTA, as well as problems with the delineation process and with the failure sometimes to heed the red flags that are put before us. So I haven't seen the resolution yet, or the language that has been circulated to you all, but the idea of certainly of increasing the transparency, increasing competition, and giving greater input and information to you all, as well as to the General Assembly, are all positive and critical steps, and I urge you all to adopt them. I also support the call, although again haven't seen any details on this, about a revised process for wetlands delineation, as well as new rules for high-risk projects. So we do have some more short circuits built in the process to address projects that do have these red flags to better protect taxpayers. There are also some specific questions that have been raised about the purpose and need and some of the discussion you had this morning for this project. I'm not going to get into it in the limited time here this morning, but there are some of the comments today require some further, I think, discussion and examination to make sure that we don't waste further money on trying to build the wrong project for what the needs are, in fact, in this corridor. We support improving Route 460, but not a new 55-mile highway, about 1 mile from the existing one. I'd like to turn now to Route 29. I was a member of the advisory panel, and we strongly support the recommendations overall. I wanted to address some of the issues that came up yesterday and arose in your discussion. But first, I'd like to thank former Commissioner Chouquette for leading the panel, thank VDOT and DRPT staff for their work, and especially thank Secretary Lane for the initiation and framing of this process, and the Governor for his support for pursuing alternatives in the corridor. Like Mr. Rooker, who spoke before me, I've been involved in every study just about in the 29 corridor. I've been working on this issue for about 20 years. And I can honestly say I feel like we are possibly closer today to making some of the most meaningful changes to improve this corridor than we've been in a long, long time. One particularly important point that I think you need to keep in mind is one that Mr. Rooker just emphasized, and that's the fact that 85 to 90% of the traffic on this section of Route 29 is local traffic. The parallel road network was designed and modeled over a 10-year period and refined as a ways to get some of that local traffic off of 29, which will have enormous benefits for through traffic as well as local traffic. One of the many shortcomings of the bypass proposal was it did next to nothing for the 90% of traffic that's local and would have still been stuck on 29 had that been built. So this package, I think, does much more to balance and address both through and local traffic. There were also questions raised about the full funding of projects that are already in the 6-year plan. I think this is critical. These are priorities that have been identified again and again by all the players involved over the years, and they are not necessarily going to move forward without that full funding. Some of the other members of the committee said, for example, well, shouldn't the localities pay for some of that? Well, if you're going to wait for that, you may be waiting a long, long time for some of those critical pieces of the network to be built. And without those parallel roads being built, it's going to be much, much harder to build either of the Cree interchanges at Rio or Hydraulic, because you need for a way for traffic to get around during the time of construction of those interchanges. So not only is it important to build those parallel roads, but the sequencing is important as well. They need to be built first. So urge you to fully fund the 6-year plan projects. Third, it was said several times that this project is just a start. I'd actually take exception to that. I think this is an extremely important steps that are more than just a start. I think it's capable of significantly improving conditions for years to come, maximizing the investment taxpayers have made in this corridor, and making it function much more effectively for possibly decades to come. The proposed package is a compromise. Although I said we support it overall, we do have things that we don't agree with about it. For example, the two worst choke points every single study has looked at are Hydraulic and Rio. That's where the congestion is. That's where most of the accidents are. We support interchanges at both of those intersections. Now, the package only calls for funding one. I think that's critical. I think Rio's very important and absolutely is going to show some of the most benefits out of anything in this package. I think, as former Commissioner Chouquette mentioned, need to be sure to do that right, because I think that will help to alleviate some of the concerns about hydraulic. And as he also mentioned, hydraulic is more difficult. So I think it makes sense to go ahead with RIO, not try to do both, which I think would sink this whole package at the local level. It has the preliminary engineering for hydraulic, and I think we can continue to move ahead with that. And I think there are additional steps need to be considered and move forward, including transit in the corridor, which dropped out after having been in every package we looked at on the panel, and looking at steps to eliminate some of those additional left turn movements. I think that's another thing we can do to help both through and local traffic. So I think I urge you, bottom line, to adopt this overall package. I think we have some real, meaningful, doable projects that can be done efficiently and effectively and within the money we have available. And I look forward to seeing us move ahead with these improvements. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pollard. Meredith Richards. Good morning.
Secretary Lane and members of the Commonwealth Transportation Board, I'm Meredith Richards, speaking on behalf of Seaville Rail in support of the second frequency of the Lynchburg train, which is part of the Route 29 Advisory Panel recommendations. 9 years ago this month, a group of rail advocates in Charlottesville began raising grassroots support for enhanced intercity passenger rail on the Piedmont Rail Corridor, which parallels Route 29. Within 2 years, we had organized 22 political jurisdictions from Danville to Manassas, as well as many citizens and organizations, forming the Piedmont Rail Coalition in support of better intercity passenger rail for the corridor. With the help of our legislators and funded by the Kane administration, the Lynchburg Northeast Regional Train was launched in October 2009. And in every year since then, it has generated the highest ridership per train of all Virginia's regionals and has ranked number one in profit per passenger mile across Amtrak's entire system of over 150 regional trains on 20 corridors in 19 states. We continue to work with our partners throughout our partner jurisdictions throughout the corridor to advance intercity rail, and while I cannot say that there is consensus among all our partners concerning the advisory panel's package of recommendations, I can say there is consensus in their general support of a second frequency of the Lynchburg train. The rail piece in the package of recommendations gives all our partner jurisdictions a $5 million commitment for a second train to serve their communities. Two factors in the remarkable success of the Lynchburg train have been its high on-time reliability and its travel time competitiveness. With the travel time to Washington of 3 hours and 42 minutes, from Lynchburg and 2 hours and 28 minutes from Charlottesville, the train is already faster than driving. And a $9 million capital project in DRPT's draft 6-year improvement plan will reduce that travel time by another 8 minutes. The Lynchburg train's extension to Roanoke, coupled with the additional frequency of the train, will help create a balance network of intercity passenger rail for Virginia, complementing the multiple regionals and planned extensions serving Richmond and Hampton Roads. Seaville Rail strongly supports the $5 million down payment on a second frequency of the Lynchburg train as part of a balanced, multifaceted, and multimodal solution for Route 29. We believe that ridership on the corridor will grow in proportion to the increased capacity as it does on intercity routes throughout the country, and that the additional service will boost the economic interest of all our communities and improve mobility throughout the U.S. 29 corridor. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next we have Pete Warchus. Warchus, our... Okay, then we have Frank Burkitchen. And if I pronounce that incorrectly, I apologize.
It was my writing, I'm sure it was unclear. Frank Burkhead.
Good morning.
I'm Frank Burkhead. I'm from Charlottesville, Albemarle County, and I moved out across the street from here when I was 5 years old, so I'm quite familiar with the growth of 49. I believe we must solve our traffic and congestion problems in the Charlottesville region. After the 29 bypass idea was killed in February, we've seen the advisory panel move forward. However, these ideas have only been floated for about 75 days. The panel recommended studying hydraulic road. What would it do to say not study Rye Road as well? Data should drive this process, not an urgency to move forward. We have the ability to spend study money first and construct these projects provided they move the traffic and through the region. My concern is that I'm moving forward with only one flyover, some interchange concepts will essentially pave the way for Concrete Canyon. Plus, during this construction phase,
Yes. Can we get maybe the microphone up a little bit? Yes.
Okay. Can you hear better now?
Yeah, that's better. Thank you.
Apologize. My concern is that by moving forward with one flyover and some interchange concepts, we'll essentially pave the way for a Concrete Canyon. Plus, during this construction phase that will last many years, there will be nothing but orange cones, Jersey walls, and little places for detours. This will permanently and significantly alter our community's landscape. While I applaud this body's effort to move forward, I believe that we should approve study money and not construction money until we know exactly how this will impact our community. Additionally, I believe there's a misconception that if all the money is not spent, it will be lost. It is my understanding that the money can be placed in a suspense fund for a period of time, thus allowing a careful study before it is so hurriedly spent. I'm hoping Secretary Lane could clarify this point. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I'm sure I'll not get this next one right here. Michael, is it Delgadio?
Digidio.
Okay, all right, excuse me. Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary. Good morning, Board. And thank you for taking the time today to hear us. First, I apologize. I'm coming into the game very late, so I spent a lot of time on the internet studying last night what was taking place on Route 29. I'm with Federal Realty. We own two major projects on the corridor. And the immediate concerns that I see are during construction. If you pull back on some of the slides I was looking at last night that I was provided, you'll see that there are many hundreds of businesses in the local area. And business may not have a face, but they are relatives, friends, community members that run these businesses. As some of the gentlemen pointed out earlier, 90% of the traffic is local traffic, and they support these businesses. So one of the things that comes to mind immediately to me is during construction, they might be choked off, which would be a huge economic impact to the community and to the businesses that are there. So I'd like to urge the board to see if we've done or can do an economic impact study to see how it will affect during construction. I think we all agree, obviously, 29 needs some improvements, and I applaud the board. I've only been in the Charlottesville area 5 years, and I've seen it expand and build in traffic, so that we definitely need to do something there. But in addition to that concern about the economic impact is the speed that we are moving forward with. So I would urge that we step back, maybe take a look at the broader picture and see how the overall impact will be on the community. And that's really all I have.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Matt Bledsoe.
Matt's with me.
Okay. I then have Ann Malik. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you all for bringing your meeting to Albemarle, and I hope you are enjoying your stay. I represent the Whitehall District in Albemarle County on the Board of Supervisors, only 7 years in that role, but a 30-year student citizen of land use and transportation issues. And from the audience, what I've learned from the task force, I support their recommendations heartily for our solutions for 29. And thank you, Mr. Secretary, for the public process to expedite this decision-making in the corridor. Part of the support is based upon the successful improvement delivery that I've seen in projects in Northern Virginia, and hope that we will benefit locally from the experience which VDOT more recently has in working with communities to bring projects successfully finished. Walt Kelly had it right 55 years ago with Pogo, the cartoon, who said, "We have met the enemy and it is us." And I have no debate today about origin destination of the 60,000 vehicles on this corridor, but one fact is immutable. It is the huge majority of travelers in this corridor have local business, shopping, work, delivery, or shipping happening here. In 2007, the VDOT Route 29 corridor study looked from 66 to the Carolina line and contains all the data to support the conclusions. Recommended projects from that study to improve mobility are part of our local plans. Our local goal has been to get more of us out of the way for the through traveler. The parallel road network in our long-range plan adopted in 2005 was developed for that purpose. Very significant changes are coming. Our in-sync light control, synchronized lights off for the whole corridor has been in process and funded locally for almost 2 years. It was supposed to be up and running last summer, but we are expecting it pronto. It is number one on our priority list. Our experience with this system in the eastern part of Albemarle County has shown substantial reduction in travel times. Throughout Virginia and other states, there have been dramatic improvements using this technology, including for side road intersections. The area we need to and want to enhance is, as Dennis said, the only eight-lane section of 29 in Virginia. The widening was done here at a cost of more than $100 million. It is an asset we need to improve and continue. It took us 15 years to accrue the secondary road funds for the Meadow Creek Parkway or the John Warner Parkway, which is now up and running, and a feeder road to the Rio Road intersection. Other parallel roads, Hillsdale to the south and Berkmar to the north, are partially constructed with local funds and cross 29 at Rio in a loose S configuration. They support both our city and county business main streets. Yesterday, the question regarding the number of stoplights removed was raised. I want to emphasize that, in my view, more traffic improvement will result than just the removal of those four traffic lights for through travelers. This is the beginning of refinements in the corridor, such as further left turn changes. Safety will improve because our accidents are clustered at these intersections where our improvements will occur. When the largest intersections with multiple turn sequences are streamlined through the separation of through and local vehicles, that in itself will speed up the entire corridor with synchronization. There will be many more people using parallel road networks because of the improved crossings east and west. The Berkmar section today delivers more shoppers to the shopping center to its east than Route 29 does. The drivers have already moved. More of our stores and the post office will add entrances from these parallel roads, and all these changes will open up capacity on the highest designed, most modern roadway in our area. Our long-range plan has fully funded the widening of 29 from the river to the airport, or now Hollymead. It's fully funded it three times since 1997. Decisions made by others remove the dollars to other projects. This history shows our area is committed to making corridor improvements. But certainty is what we need. Then we can work shoulder to shoulder with our business community and residents to help deliver these improvements. If we can provide any information to you as you dig further into these task force recommendations, I invite you to reach out to us. John Lynch can provide our contact information to you. In closing, just a short story. VDOT workers are our neighbors, and the VDOT community lost one of its longtime and most wonderful employees in 2013. Ed Bailey, known to all of us as Flu, was a colorful historian of transportation, and he scraped me up off the road when my pony had dumped me in 1959 in the middle of Garth Road, and he was an adult at the time. Flu was with VDOT in 1946 when the used bridge from Allegheny County was installed at 50 years of age in Advance Mills. He was also present in 2010 and cut the ribbon on the replacement span, which never would have happened without the diligence of many citizens and Quentin Elliott. So thank you for keeping him on these projects locally. We are ready to work with you to complete the task underway in the Charlottesville-Albemarle MPO for more than 20 years to create parallel roads to get the locals like me more options to stay off 29 and free up the capacity for through travelers. And thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you. That concludes all the people I have signed up, but is there anyone else here that would like to address the board? Okay, hearing none. Board, would you like to put Frank or just go right into the the formal session? All right, 2 minutes. We'll take 2 minutes. We'll start in 5 minutes. It'll be 11:40. We'll come back and go through the action items real quick. Hey, Rick. Do they have cookies at the front desk? This is strange. Do they have cookies at the front desk, or is that where you get the cookies that you check in?
I'm glad that one's got to get me one.
Yeah. Everybody to get through their seats and we'll continue the meeting.
We're getting close. Let's see, we got Dixon.
Let's see, got William. We got,
someone missing.
Got a quorum. Okay, the formal work session is now back in session, and our first order of business is approval of the prior meeting's minutes. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second. Is there a second?
Second.
All approved, say aye.
Aye.
Any discussion or opposed? No. All right, move on. Our next is Mr. Walton will talk to us about websites and guidelines and manuals.
Mr. Chairman, board members, item number one is a resolution. We ask for your approval. At the 2014 session, the General Assembly recodified Title 33.1. So as of October of this year, it will be Title 33.2. There are a number of board regulations, guidelines, websites, that will have to be updated, and rather than bring every one of those to you for approval, we're asking for you to delegate that to the commissioner and to the director of the Department of Rail and Public Transportation so we can go ahead and make what are essentially just technical changes to all these documents. So we would ask for your approval of the resolution.
Is this part of the codification process, or is it?
Well, Title 33.1 was last codified in the 70s, so
right.
It's been a while. The Code Commission has a normal process they go through where I think next year they're going to take on education and recodify all the provisions dealing with education. We've been working on this for 2 years dealing with their staff and legislative services, and going through and putting things and new orders and new chapters. For example, the PPTA, which is in Title 56, will now be in Title 33.2. The Transportation District Acts, under which the NVTA operates, which is in Title 15.2 today, that will be moved to Title 33.2. So there are a number of code sections that are all going to be brought onto the auspices of Title 33.2. Well, actually have been, because the legislation is passed and signed by the governor.
Is there a motion on behalf of Mr. Walton?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Walton. Mr. Justice. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary. Good morning, members of the committee. I have two action items for you. One is for your approval of a contract for providing infrastructure resiliency and protection services. This is a replacement contract to existing contract to Elite. It is a 5-year contract. It is an on-call contract. We estimate its value of $20 million over the 5 years. Again, this is a replacement to an existing contract that we have today, and which does expire in June.
Is it a different contractor?
It's very similar to the previous contract. We have updated the language to reflect the movement toward resiliency, much as work is done with Homeland Security and others move toward more resiliency protection.
Are you keeping the current contractor?
No, that contract will expire.
Is there a different person going to be performing the services?
Yes.
Okay, so we're changing actually the contractor also.
Elite was one of the subs on the previous contract. They are now be awarded this contract.
Motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Just before we spend $20 million, what exactly is the resiliency and what is this?
I will be glad to clarify that for you, sir. This is the Virginia Infrastructure Physical Security and Resiliency Protection Program. These are cameras for monitoring our critical infrastructure sites, such as our tunnels, traffic operations centers, and provide physical security.
Gotcha. This includes things like our gate system. You can't get onto the island in HRBT or Monitor Merrimack without going through our gate system. It's what I call physical security, gates, access points, not just there, but throughout our entire system of 200 plus installations around the state.
And what was the price of the contract? This is roughly $5 million a year.
Right.
How does that compare to what we were paying the previous few years?
Very similar. We've been running about $3 to $4 million. And I should also mention that this contract's available for other state agencies, localities that have used this contract in the past.
Okay. There we have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you.
The next item is a resolution for the Interstate 81 Multi-State Corridor Coalition Grant. We have the Interstate 81 Corridor was a coalition formed in 2011 to 6 states from Tennessee up to New York, and is a coalition focused on improving safety, efficiency of freight and passenger movement to help save lives. Of the 6 states, the coalition includes 19 local governments, 18 regional governments, 15 non-governmental entities, and 12 private sector entities, including Virginia Tech.
In 2013, the Federal Highway Administration released a multi-state corridor operations management program grant opportunity to promote regional cooperation and planning, shared project implementation for projects, and improving multimodal transportation. They awarded a grant to the I-81 Corridor Coalition in the amount of $545,000 for the coalition to develop an I-81 corridor freight information system. Virginia is the administrative host of the I-81 Corridor Coalition through Virginia Tech, and so we're required, given there's money expended outside the state, we're required by the code to have the CTB authorize the commissioner to enter into a contract and execute the partnership agreement with Federal Highway Administration for this project.
All right, and what's the purpose of the project?
The purpose of the project is to create a freight information system for travelers, trucking community, truckers going up and down 81, travel times, incidents, weather, but really geared toward the trucking community, broader than just your regular 511. Access to where truck parking availability, et cetera.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It says for the program transfers, it says for a certain amount of money for this particular time.
This grant, yes, Ms. Williams, the grant is for $545,500. That's the amount of the grant for Federal Highway.
Is it for every year? Is this is something that...
This is a one-time grant.
So it's a one-time grant.
Yes.
Move the resolution.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any more discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you, Mr. Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary.
Ms. Mitchell.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I have for your action today items on the transfers for the 2014 through 19 6-year improvement program from March 29th to April 25th. Majority of the transfers are moving surplus funds from completed projects to scheduled projects, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Motion.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Will these transfers affect the beginning balance or the balances in the plan we'll be voting on in June?
Yeah, those would be incorporated
into
the plan
into
the program
that's
adopted in June.
Okay, thank you. Any more discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you, Ms. Mitchell. Mr. Brule.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I have a resolution before you to deallocate funds under the Economic Development Access Program. This deallocation was actually requested by Halifax County. They had a project to Day Park that they requested and received $500,000 in Economic Development Access funds back in 2009. The county has decided not to proceed with the project at this time and has requested that the funds be deallocated and returned to the Access Fund Program account.
Ms. Valentine, is there a motion? It's in your district. We typically wait to see what the district rep would like to do.
Well, first I would just like to point out how terribly responsible Halifax County is being in acknowledging the fact that they are not using this money and choosing to send it back. I personally have not had any contact about this, but I will trust that you are acting on their behalf and presenting this to us.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, Ms. Valentine, the program that they, this particular aspect of the Economic Development Access Program, if they don't have a named industry, they have to bond their project. Right. And if they don't have a named industry that shows investment in that area within 5 years, they may have to pay back the money. We've extended through bond moratoriums now several times. This project was at a point where the county was either going to have to give us another bond for another couple of years or just decide to shelve the project, and rather than continue to invest in bonding that money in the event that somebody might come forward that wants the facility, they're turning it back in. So it's very responsible. They could come back at a later date, ask for funds for the project, and we could certainly entertain that request at that time.
Yeah, and I should have mentioned two things. First of all, our new board members, it's been the courtesy of the board that when there are specific items in districts, we allow the district member to make the motion or speak in favor of or not, but we because of that. So knowing this is your first meeting didn't mean to, but I did that.
No, I was happy to share the comment. Yeah. And with all that information, I would so move the.
And second, by the time we go through deallocation on something, it's been a long process. So usually it's not one of contention. It's one that, yes, we can't do it. That doesn't mean they can't get the monies back on in the future once they are ready. And that's typically the way these programs work on that. So we have a motion. Is there a second? Second. All those, any more discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Here's Ms. Fuel. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
Thank you.
Mr. Secretary, members of the board, I'm here presenting a resolution for the board's consideration to enter into a new confidentiality agreement to maintain access to...
Yes, can we, the microphone is... Can you get it a little bit closer?
Sorry. To maintain access to the current and future rail data collection by the Surface Transportation Board. The Surface Transportation Board has custody of the confidential rail waybill sample, a database containing rail shipment data. Because of the sensitive nature of this data, the Surface Transportation Board requires the execution of a confidentiality agreement with its users. The Virginia Department of Transportation and the Department of Rail and Public Transportation, along with their consultants, use this information for transportation analysis. VDOT recommends that the board authorize the Commissioner of Highways or his designee to execute the necessary agreement with the Surface Transportation Board for continued access to the confidential railroad data by both agencies.
Okay. Mr. Kilpatrick, so you'll be executing this?
Yeah, that's correct. This is basically we get rail information. We have to agree to keep it confidential as part of we use it for planning purposes, both VDOT as well as Department of Rail and Public Transportation and probably OIP also.
Does that information include what's being carried on the trains? Is it on the train or is it trucks or what are we?
I don't know the extent to which the information, what the details, but the rails considered proprietary information must remain confidential. But again, I don't know. I just don't know that detail, whether it includes what is actually being carried on the cars.
Well, I mention this because the governor has just instituted a rail safety commission, which I've been named co-chair, along with Secretary Moran. And I'm trying to just figure out what our roles are going to be. And so,
I think it, my understanding, and this is retrospective historic data, but I think it does include some general categories of the types of commodities, but not specific information by train or anything like that. I don't know. Negative.
Yeah, if I could answer, I'm sorry. Yeah. It includes origin and destination information, the type of the commodity, the number of cars, tons, revenue, length of haul, participating railroads, and interchange locations. Those are some of the type sample information.
Well, are we? My question is, if we sign this confidentiality, are we precluding this safety? I know that's going to be one of the things from the safety board is. They want to know what's on these trains. If nothing else, if it slides into the rivers on fire, we want to know what to use to put the fire out with.
No, sir, my understanding.
I mean, do you see this any conflict at all? I mean, I
Mr. Chairman, I just want to raise an unrelated issue to this. So there's an emergency order that has been enacted by the federal government that would require carriers of crude oil to notify the states when they're transporting and where they're transporting those things through various states or the Commonwealth. So that type of information, I believe, will be available to that rail task force. The Surface Transportation Board, who this current request is before, is particular, to put it mildly, about these types of requests, and you must specify exactly what you're going to use that information for, and you must do that in advance. And so there's been an ongoing dialogue with the Surface Transportation Board that's been going on for some months now, and the current request before them is to get this data for the purposes of freight planning in the long-range V-Trans process. We could submit another request for a different type of information, but if we tacked it onto this request, it would push this one back and probably wouldn't speed up our ability to access that other information.
Okay, so we're not giving, we can always ask for other information.
Yes, sir,
that's what I was trying to get to. Yes, thank you. Is there a motion?
Second.
For a second. Okay. Yeah, you got it. Okay. Any more discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay, thank you. And is Mr. Page here?
This
is the one that, okay.
For the members of the board, we've had some, this is in regard to item number 7. Since we put this on the agenda, we've received some new information from the applicant that changes the information in their grant application. So we've decided to take some additional time over the next few weeks to work with the grantee and or the agent or the group that's requested these funds. And we may bring it back at the next board meeting for approval.
Mr. Secretary, I have been in discussion with the applicant with our own department and concur with pulling this. I was looking forward to addressing my friend, Mr. Shep, Mr. Miller's comments in the last month, and I hope that I'll have the opportunity next month.
Okay. All right. Well, then we'll defer this to another time. Let's see. Mr. Cole, for number 8 here.
I would move the appointment of Mr. Grodzinski as the Secretary of Commonwealth Transportation Board.
Second.
The Secretary duties are to sign the minutes and bond documents and otherwise be the longest serving member. So.
Somebody asked me if I'm taking Carol's place. And I just want to tell Hap, don't get too comfortable in that chair because within a moment, you could be springboarding right here.
Yeah.
This higher salary.
Yes. He too, Ms. Valentine, gets double salary.
You're welcome.
Zero. That's right. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
We need a background check on this.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, background check on him. Thank you very much for serving. Look forward to working with you. Okay, Mr. Camus, I get that right. Hey, Mark.
Mr. Secretary, Mr. Commissioner, members of the board, on April 23rd, we took 15 design bid build bids, 15 total. 10 of those are below $2 million. 3 are between $2 and $5 million. 2 are above $5 million. One of those were rejected. I'm seeking your approval to let one of those contracts, D-74.
Mr. Patrick,
the link's not working here.
Yeah, mine neither. But none of those contracts, and I know we haven't put these provisions in, but none of those have any extraordinary issues that the board should be aware of.
No, sir. And to highlight, we have the 606 project at Dulles Airport, which is a cooperative agreement between our VDOT, MWA, and Loudoun County.
I'm gonna address those.
Okay.
I'm kind of handling the design bid build first, then I'll go into the design build.
Okay. I can't get my.
It's a $9 million project in Montgomery County, D-74. It widens 603 between I-81 and Route 11. It's a straightaway project.
Mr. Fraley.
Well, I mean, I'd like to be able to see the contract, the contractor, the amount.
Right. We're going to try to get those up here.
The contractor's Falconer.
Okay. Hold on 1 second, Mark. We just can't pull them up on our.
We can't. We like. I'd like to see what they are.
All right. So we're going to go around and get everybody. If just hold on a second, so everybody can see it, and then we'll go.
No, I'm not
about to. Well, now the folder's not.
No.
And we are. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Gotcha.
All right. Let's go through them quickly. Well, has everybody got theirs up?
Okay, I think we're up now.
Beer. Okay. Are you going to go through them or?
Well, I was seeking. Let me see what you have on your screen.
Oh, that's right. You can't see.
Yeah, I'm seeking approval to let D-74, which is on your first page.
Okay.
And again, I believe this is what's called the Elliston Connector.
Yes, correct.
Correct, Mr. Vreeland?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with this project?
I am.
Okay.
So we're just. What about the other bids? You going on separately?
Well, what I'm doing is they're both under two parts of the code. So I take the design bid build, which is under one part of the code, and then the design build, which is under another. The language is a little different, but I break it out into those two pieces.
Okay, so we have two projects. We're rejecting a bid, and we are accepting a bid.
Yeah, actually, we already rejected it. We're just seeking the motion to approve one. Okay. Rejected.
So why don't we take them separately just to make this easy? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. The first one is on the Interstate 81. Is there a motion for acceptance?
I move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Next is the a rejection of DLB Inc. Is there a motion? So maybe you better take us through.
So far,
I'm not sure.
Budget.
Yeah, I'm not. This kind of slipped in. I don't believe you need to reject it. We already rejected it. We just need approval of what we're going to award.
There's not a requirement for you to approve the rejection. There were issues with the bid. And
correct.
So this is one that we have made the decision to pull the bid and we'll rebid it.
Yeah, it was 30% higher than what we thought it should have been.
All right. Okay, so moving on then.
Okay, moving on. Then we have two design build projects, which you see on page 3 is the first one. $77.4 million. I'm seeking approval to award that project.
Right. And this project is what I would call the Dulles Loop on the western side of Dulles Airport, and it was jointly funded by VDOT, MWA, and Loudoun County.
Mr. Grozinski, is there a motion?
There is a motion. I'd like to make one comment for the Commissioner. Charlie, we're working with the developer of the community, Brambleton, because there's a tie-in here that he's doing privately. I want to make sure that stays coordinated.
Absolutely.
With Brambleton.
Absolutely.
And I make the motion, Mr. Secretary.
Second. Any more discussion?
Mr. Chairman, could I ask, the $77 million bid amount, is that... How much is that the total project cost, or is that just the state portion, though? Or is there any more money in that?
That should be the construction. That's
the total value, okay. Including, that's not the sources of funding.
Gotcha.
So, in broad terms, it was one-third state, one-third MWA, and one-third Loudoun County. Now, MWA's amount was actually slightly less than one-third, but kind of in broader sense, it was a three-way agreement there.
Thank you.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
The next project I'm seeking approval to award is the I-66 Route 15 interchange in Prince William County in the amount of $36 million.
Now, let me ask a question here. Is the 36, that's apples and apples to the 62?
No, if you look down at the bottom, lower left, the $36 million is inclusive of preliminary engineering, utility relocation, quality assurance and quality control, and the construction of the project.
Now, but see, that's where I thought we were going to put on there apples and apples, because that's what we were getting before is, I mean, I don't know if it adds up to $100 million after, so I thought we'd gone through and agreed that what we were going to look at on the bid amount is what was in the six-year plan specifically for that section.
We had Mr. Secretary, too, so that the board could see a clear comparison of what we thought it was going to cost versus what the actual bid amount.
Okay,
so,
but, I mean, of the 30s, how does the 36 compare to what the part of the 62 was going to be, is the question. Are we behind or ahead of the eight ball with this first bid?
Mr. Secretary, on its face, we are to the good or ahead on this, but again, this is something that will ensure that the that we have a very clear apples-to-apples comparison so that the board can say, are the bids coming in high or low or right on the money? The challenge we have internally, again, we have other things that are in the total cost of the project, but we'll ensure that that's done.
Yeah, but I got it. But some of those other things add up to what your original bid is. All we're saying is,
yes,
when you give us a contract, compare it to the original bid.
Yeah,
portion in there. Okay.
What just did the design build cost?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, yeah, that's right. Now, if it ends up more, I got it. But at least up front, we need to make sure.
Mr. Chairman, I think what Aubrey's saying is, I'm looking at this trying to figure out where I'm going to spend this $20 million we just saved.
Yeah.
And that ain't the $20 million we just saved.
And it is.
We can't compare what this phase is versus what we anticipated this phase would cost.
Yes, sir, that's correct. It's some portion of approximately $24 million. The bids have come in. There is some savings here, but it's not the full. It's not the delta between 61.8 and 36.2.
But I think, to Secretary Link's point, we were trying to get those presented on these bid sheets.
Yes.
So we could see that.
Yes.
So do we have an estimate of what the 36 actually compares to?
The 36, again, you look at the footnotes at the bottom.
Yes.
So it includes the engineering, the utilities, the QA, and the construction. What it does not include is right-of-way and other engineering work that we either have done getting to this point or will do, what I call engineering oversight work, to carry this
through. All right, let me ask another question. Is what we got left to do going to be more than $20 million?
No.
On TV.
But my point is, you can make educated guesses or estimates as to what we're doing. So, okay, this was the lowest bid. Is there a motion, Mr.?
There is a motion and a comment that, as every interchange on I-66, this is extremely important to the western part of Prince William County that services Prince William and all the way up through Leesburg and eventually to Point of Rocks. But this is critical because it's a choke point right now, and it's a dangerous choke point without this interchange.
Yes, Mr. Deal.
Are you guys sufficient for the board recommendation?
Again, how many do you know how many bidders we had initially? Because I do know this was a project we shortlisted. So we started with a big pool, shortlisted, and then selected from the shortlist.
I don't recall, but it's more than two.
Yeah.
I think shortlist.
You met state procurement guidelines. Yeah. You know, Garrett.
I don't know the total pool that started. We did have three that were active in the actual shortlist. Of those three, one of the things that we did get probably a discount price is in using the creativity of the submission design build, there was a flyover involved. The winning bidder actually used a diverging diamond, which is a lower profile in there. It does not give as much capacity, but it did meet the traffic standard. So some of the detail it is, and that is something that the locality wanted, a lower profile, and we ran off against them to make sure that we were meeting their needs at the same time as we made the award. Does that answer the question? Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Cole.
If you could help out a layman, non-engineer, according to the footnotes, the bid, the $36 million bid, does not include design cost. Why would a design build project bid not include design cost?
It includes the footnote. It includes the engineering PE. It includes utility relocation. It includes the QA/QC portion of inspection, I'll call it, and it includes construction. But what it does not have is right-of-way acquisition, and it does not have the engineering that we would be either have done to get us to this point of delivering the contract, and then the balance of what I'll call construction engineering, which is really inspection services. On a design build contract, our inspection level is considerably less because you have a built-in that QA is quality assurance, quality control. So a lot of that is already built into the contract, but we still have a small amount of field engineering work that we will do.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any more discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I think we have one item under new business, and that was the resolution that I had recommended to the board. And Mr. Phelan?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I would move the resolution.
Second.
This resolution titled Commonwealth Transportation Board Direction to the Office of Transportation Public Transit Partnership.
Yes, Mr.
Dyke. Mr. Chairman, I would like to raise a suggested amendment I mentioned when you were at the podium, which was to take out the language with the cost exceeding $100 million and then wait for direction from the P3 office as to, since we're really focused on risk, that's the main thing right now.
I would accept that as a friendly amendment if that's...
Yeah, want me to remove? I mean, because we didn't get a second, so.
Yeah, okay. You did get a second, so.
We did? So
yeah, we did. We did get a second, yes.
Okay, so somebody's got to make that motion to amend it, and somebody will second that.
I would move a friendly amendment to strike the language with the cost exceeding $100 million from the fifth whereas.
Okay, we have a second. Okay. Let's first of all vote on the amended motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, we have a substitute now.
With that amendment, Mr. Secretary, I would move the resolution.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any more discussions? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you very much. That's all I had on the agenda. I think our next meeting is a one-day meeting. No, it's a two-day meeting, too?
Two-day meeting,
too. Oh, that's right. We have a two-day meeting. Presentation. Right. But it's in Richmond. Yeah, but we do have another two-day meeting. But there will be no broken down bus tours before the meeting.
We could arrange
that. Well, thank you, everybody. And again, welcome to all the new members. I know it's been a long one, but welcome on board. Look forward to working with you over the months. With that,